Coming up, I'm going to give you the person who's most responsible for your mental stress. And then Gen Z is becoming the tool belt generation. We'll unpack what that means. It's going to be good. Let's go. Hey, we're here to help you win as a person, become better as a person so that you can make more money in your work. And then how do we handle the spoils of the promotion, right? So, hey, if I keep getting promoted, I'm going to get in a leadership role, and I don't see a lot of leadership development out there. And so we want to help you in those areas. All right, so let's get right to it. One of the things that will really help you personally and professionally is to understand the greatest cause. What's the domino, if you will, for all of the mental stress, the greatest impact on your mental health? What is it? Well, I'm going to show you a really short Instagram post that I posted, I don't even know how long ago, maybe a year ago, and it's had over 10 million views. We reposted it recently, and that's heading towards 3 million views. So, hello, I accidentally stepped on a nerve. Like, you never know what social media posts are going to work and what don't, and boy, oh boy, did this one hit a nerve. And I want you to watch this. And this is just a second. Then we're going to share some of the comments and why this thing went so viral. And by the way, I had to call my mom. Like 10 million views, I had to call mom, say, Mom, I finally made it. No, I did not do that. Watch this.
New study revealed that your manager has more impact on your mental health than your doctor or anyone else. So if you've got a crappy leader, not only is your mental health suffering, the rest of your health is going to follow pretty soon.
Boom. Mic drop, apparently. Now, I'm not going to break down the study and the data there, but I was just this was stuff that I was doing for the show. And I wind up in that office with my social media guy, Jason, and he turns the camera on. He goes, hey, what's got you fired up from the show lately? And I go, man, this right here. And I just say it, and we put it out there, and boom, 13 million people have seen that video. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of comments. So the latest data suggests that for almost 69% of workers, their manager, their leader, has more impact on their mental health than their therapist or their doctor. And you ready for this? It's equal to the impact of the person they're living with. That's crazy to me. And yet, it makes perfect sense. You probably spend more time around your boss than you do your partner. I do. Well, if you take off sleep. But believe me, when you're sleeping with your partner, your spouse, here's the deal. You're not talking. I'm saying sleeping technically. Get your mind out of the gutter. So if you take out the occupying the bed in a state of sleep, is that G-rated enough? Then you are spending more time around your leader and your coworker than you are the person that you love, for crying out loud. And boy, oh boy, the numbers don't lie. People relate to this. And we just pulled out a few of the comments. And when I tell you thousands of comments, I'm telling you thousands. I attempted to pull out a few, and I just was like scrolling through so much of the 100s. Wow, this is right. There was a lot of affirmation of the feeling, but equally some crazy stories. Let's throw a few up here on the screen, and I'll just share a few with you. For our viewing audience, you can read along with me. For our podcast audience, I will read these to you. But these are some of the, really, you know, blatant and poignant responses. So do we have those? All right. Here's one. That middle one is what we're going to lock in, right? Is that why I literally ended up in the emergency room for a random severe allergy that lasted 3 days, 1 week into my job? Not to mention that I've been sick every week in the month of June. Yeah, Probably. To give you a real life example of this, my wife and I ran into a friend of ours last week at a restaurant. And my wife had shown me a picture of her, a before and after picture on Instagram recently. She said, "Look at this," as she was showing me a picture of her friend. And it's my friend too, but you know, I'm not on the gram as much as my wife. And so she says, "Look at this, it's unbelievable." And her friend, our friend, had posted a picture of her a year ago and then a picture of her now. And it was unbelievable. She was working out then, she's working out now. She was eating clean then, she's eating clean now. So it wasn't those two issues, but she had lost a lot of swelling, and she showed some pictures of her face and also her body, but it was stress-related inflammation. And I'm not an expert on this, not going to try to be, but go do your research on it. And the conditions that your boss is creating or allowing, the emotions that your bad boss is creating for you, that impacts your body. So 100% get that. Next, I'll show the next one. I definitely, this is Alyssa, looks like Alyssa Lorraine. I definitely left my job due to a bad supervisor and was getting sick going to work due to burnout. I couldn't keep up anymore. Since I left, I'm sleeping well again, and I've dropped 5 pounds, and I've only been gone a month. Now, again, folks, for those of you that want to be cynical here and go, oh, this is, no, I'm telling you, just go research what stress does to your physical body and the stress hormone of cortisol. It's literally a killer. Listen, there is data out there that makes a very clear distinction that people who have been unhappy in their work, and think about the body of time here associated with all of that unhappiness, die earlier. So can I just say this? You can make a very clear distinction that for some of you, changing where you work and the type of work you do and where you work is key to changing your life. Let's show another one. My previous manager was a nightmare. After 4 months in the job with her, I got anxiety and started to physically get sick. Literally, when I quit my job, I was healed the next day. Now, you weren't healed. You didn't get healed, but your body was healing itself the next day. Amazing. Amazing. Now, I want to read a longer one here because let's look at the flip side, because I want to flip this to those of you who are in leadership. Okay? Let's flip this, because I've already made the key point. If you are in a truly unhealthy situation and you take it to your leader and your leader cannot or will not do anything about it, it's time for you to go find a healthy leader. All right? We get that. I've talked about that ad nauseum on the show. I don't even want to really spend any time on this, but here's what I do want to spend on. Hey, those of you that are leaders right now, I don't want you to feel attacked. I do not want you to feel attacked. And I don't want to say to everybody else, don't blame all of this on your direct report, because they might be in this situation, in your situation, good people who have little to no control over the environment that has been passed down to them. But you can blame the leaders all the way up the top. You keep going up the rung of leadership, okay? That we can blame. And I hold those leaders responsible, because if we aren't teaching leaders how to lead and how to solve problems for their people, then that stress that they are feeling, watch this, if your leader is just as stressed and just as burned out as you are, of course it's going to transfer. You know, I remember an eye-opener for me when my kids were much younger, we heard a psychologist, a parenting expert say, look, anxiety comes largely from the home. If you as parents are dealing with anxiety, your kid feels it. So all that to say, this is the same in the leadership space. So I want to read a great comment that speaks to the solve for this. This is the kind of leader you want to be, leaders. And those of you who are looking for a leader, you want to find this kind of leader. I'm going to summarize this, a very long comment. My dad was a VP of an online branch of a bank. When COVID happened, all of his team had to go home, but I could hear him conducting his work calls with his employees, as he talked to them. And, he would talk to them about their lives and what they were up to. And there was a lot of laughter. The person to comment said he started the day, in a conversation with his team, and, it always started with fun conversation. And then it would be focused on conversation that was related to work. When he died, all of his employees came to his celebration of life. They stated how he made a miserable job not miserable, how they enjoyed coming to work because of my dad. When he died, people across the country in the banking world emailed and sent letters to my brothers and me saying things like, your dad spoke at a banking conference and taught breakout sessions and we got to meet him. And just from that one interaction, he helped change my life. And one old employee reached out and said, we hate work now and are extremely miserable because your dad's not our boss anymore. The new guy's a jerk and doesn't care about us. What a testimony. You want to know why your leader has such impact on you? Because of so much time and so much contact. And if they don't care for you, I don't mean in the words, but they act in a way where they care for you, it has a tremendous impact on how you think about yourself, then how you act, how you feel about yourself, and how you feel physically. Folks, it matters. Go get in a healthy environment. Leaders, create a healthy environment. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you're enjoying the show and it's helping you, can you help me? Two ways. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up and a share. And if you're listening via podcast, give us a follow and a five-star review. Okay, this is great news. I'm super excited about this. I'm going to do a little extra paper crinkle today because of how excited I am about this. And I also want to say that I'm a bit surprised. I am excited. And I'm a bit surprised by this news from the Wall Street Journal. Here's the headline, How Gen Z is Becoming the Tool Belt Generation. I did not think this was going to happen and turn as quickly as it is. The ship is turning, and the ship is turning faster than I think anybody thought, and I couldn't be more excited about it. In fact, I'm going to be with Mike Rowe, Mr. Dirty Jobs himself, Alex, in a couple of weeks. And he and I are going to share a glass of his bourbon, Noble. He's got a brand. Made in Colombia, by the way, Joe. I'm giving all kinds of valuable information out today. But Mike and I are friends, and I'm going to be interviewing him at our leadership conference. And I'm not kidding you, Alex. He and I are going to high-five over this. This is very exciting. In fact, I saw this the other day, and I emailed it to Alex, and I said, I got to talk about it. So here it is. The skilled trades are now all of a sudden becoming appealing to Gen Z. Why? Rising pay and new technologies in these fields have given it a facelift. In other words, it's not so dirty. And Alex, I know you'll remember this call. I want to say it was a year ago. I feel like we got a call from a young man who was a welder by trade. And he asked me, he called me, he said, Ken, I basically need your advice. I can stay at my current job and get a promotion as a welder, or I can go down the street and work in a job that's an even bigger pay raise with a greater opportunity. And that's in welding too. And I said, well, what's the difference? He says, well, in the new opportunity, I would be monitoring a welding machine. And I said to him, you got to be kidding me. You mean you stand there all day long and watch a welding machine do what you are trained to do? And he said, he started laughing. He goes, that's exactly what I'm doing. He goes, I'm essentially there to make sure the machine doesn't screw up. And I followed up with this question. I said, so you're telling me that you're not getting dirty and you're not getting very sweaty. You're just kind of there monitoring the situation. He said, oh man, that's exactly what's going on. And that's a great example of this idea of a facelift. So what's happened is, folks, as is always the case, technology makes things more efficient. And no matter how dirty the job is or how tradey you want to call it the job is, technology will continue to have an impact. So you take these kind of jobs. And so all of a sudden, young people are going, wait a second. I can learn how to weld and I can be creative and I can work with my hands, but it's not dirty and it's not as gross. Come on, folks. It's not shocking. Here's some really great news. Enrollment in vocational training programs is surging, as overall enrollment in four-year schools is falling. I could not be any happier right now. I feel like throwing a I told you so party. I just didn't think that it would be happening this quickly. Trade school enrollment up, four-year school enrollment down. Oh, folks, there's still hope for America. Students enrolled in vocational community colleges rose 16% last year to its highest level since they began tracking this data in 2018. The ranks of students studying construction trades rose 23% during that time. Alex, this is significant. When we had a guest on this show recently, if you want to watch the interview on my YouTube page, it was our carpenter buddy that came on and said, hey, we need carpenters. So again, it doesn't mean this is getting solved overnight, but it is. The Honest Carpenter is that interview. And so, but this is good news. So those studying construction trades, that would be, you know, masonry, carpentry, you know, drywall, you name it, electrician work, all this kind of stuff, plumbing. Okay, that rose 23%. And then those programs covering HVAC and vehicle maintenance and repair increased 7%. So that's good too. Now, this is now helping us with two major issues. Number one, folks, for those of you who own a home, hello, you think this kind of stuff doesn't affect you? It does. And so this is going to help us with what we're seeing as an older group of trade workers that are aging out of the system. This is great for replacement. That's another thing. Here's the second thing. It's great for our economy because here's what happens. Young people get into the trades and they can make very good money, but they also, a good portion of them will move from being a tradesman or woman and move into business owner. And that's good for the small business economy and good for our country's economy. The median pay for new construction hires rose 5.1% to $48,000. Again, that's the median. It doesn't mean it's the top. It's just that's right in the middle. Can I just say something for a second, parents? Hello, parents. Listen to me. You're telling me that you would wonder and be a little bit nervous about your kid who doesn't want to go to college making $48,000 in the first year? And oh, by the way, that means there's no debt. Wake up, parents. By contrast, new hires in professional services earned an annual $39,000, up 2.7 from 2022. Now, for you cynics out there, there's no question that professional and business service workers, for example, make a median long-term $78,500 compared to $69,000 in construction. So for you cynics out there, you're going to go, well, wait a second, Ken, that degree and that white collar over the long haul pays more. Okay. I read the data too, but you forgot about this. What's the average amount of debt that white collar worker has to make that money? I'll take the 69.2 with no student loans and the option to own my own business every day of the week and twice on Sunday over the $78,500 and maybe that same amount in debt, if not more. Come on, folks. They quote a mom in this that I got to read. They quote a mom who says, I'll be honest, it took me a little bit mentally to get on board. She's talking about her son who moved into the trades. She said she had never had exposure to the trades. That's not true. She had heard indirectly that the trades were not the most impressive work, that a degree from a great college, that's the life. That's what we've all heard. So she says, I didn't have much exposure to the trades. But she said, this is a good mom. Way to go, mom. She's thrilled that her son has found something that he loves with good prospects. And this is the quote. Parents, listen to me. This is a mom who bought the message that all of us have bought, that a degree is the better life. Get a degree, better life. Don't get a degree. Hope you aren't a loser. Come on, folks. That's the message. Listen to this quote. This is a proud mom. I deserve some paper crinkling as well. He's already thinking, I want to buy my first house by the time I'm 24. I don't have any debt. I'm off to the races. Are you freaking kidding me, folks? The American dream is alive and well. And I got to tell you, you want to get to the better dream and get there faster and live it longer? Consider the trades and not a degree that you can't actually make money with, because we now have data that says over 50%, just a hair over 50% of college grads are not even working in the degree field they got the student loan for. You want to talk about the American nightmare? It'd be spend 4 to 5 freaking years studying something that you can't even use or that you don't use. That's the American nightmare. The American dream is, hey, you know what? I've always been good with my head and hands. I like fixing stuff, and I like wearing boots, and I like being outside, and I like helping people, and I hate school, and I don't need to go to school, so I'm going to go to a trade school, and in a fraction of the time, I'm going to get paid to learn something, and I'm going to be making $55,000 a year, while all of my friends that got better grades than me and got more praise from their teachers because they were good at existing in the system. Boy, I'm fired up now. I'm really going to offend some people. And they were just good rule followers. And so society rewarded them. And everybody thinks they're great. But they're drinking their faces off and going to summer camp on steroids, because that's what college is now. And 50% of them are going to be looking for something to do with their life, and they wasted 4 to 5 years, and a huge portion of them are $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 in debt. I know this because I'm co-host of the second largest radio show in the world, and we take these freaking calls every day. It's the same freaking call. And so they're looking at their friends going, who's the loser now, Chachi? I'm making money. I got a house. I got a car. I go to sleep really good at night because I'm tired, because I actually worked and did something meaningful, and I don't have stress and debt. Oh, by the way, what I do makes the world go round. Last little bit on this, I like to remind folks all the time, God did not give me any talent outside of the ability to talk. And so when something goes wrong in my house, I'm worthless. Poor Stacy, I'm worthless. However, I talk well enough to be able to afford guys that I'm talking about right now that can come fix it. And you know who the most important man in Stacy's life is when our AC goes out? It ain't me. It's the HVAC guy. And you're telling me the HVAC guy who's out there in 100-degree weather sweating his you-know-what's off, but he is fixing the problem, and he sees my wife when he says to her, got the AC back online, Mrs. Coleman, and he's dirty and sweaty and nasty. Do you think my wife looks at him and goes, ooh, okay, here's the check? No, she practically wants to hug the guy. Why? Because he made our life more comfortable. Made our life safer if it's heat in the extreme winter. So I digress, because now I've gone on a longer rant. Here's the bottom line. The latest study from Burning Glass Institute shows that roughly half of college grads end up in jobs where their degrees aren't even needed. And many high school graduates are saying they are disinclined to take on college debt. Those are two massive storms. Have you ever seen the George Clooney movie, A Perfect Storm? I just gave you the business job economic perfect storm. Both of those two pieces of data right there. Folks, let me tell you, if you haven't woken up yet, 5 years, 10 years from now, college education is no longer going to be the shiny thing that everybody's going to have to do. So why not save yourself some time? Why not save yourself some money? Why not save yourself some stress, parents? And those of you, maybe high schoolers or college people listening to me right now, and just freaking go, what is it that I want to do? And how is it that I can get there? By the way, I can help you with both. The Get Clear Assessment does it for you in about 15, 18 minutes. Every book, every product that I've ever done will help you answer those questions and set you free. All right. Quick break, swig of water, get my blood pressure back under control, but I'm excited. What I've been saying is coming true. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Hey, if you're enjoying the program and it's helping you, two ways you can help me: spread the word. If you listen via podcast, just give us a follow and a five-star review. And if you're watching via YouTube, give us a thumbs up and subscribe and share. That would be great. Okay, so I want to stay right here because I went on a fun little rant, but what does that mean to you? Okay, because that was a lot of data and a lot of facts, and it really wasn't about me saying, I told you so, because listen, folks, I've been married almost 26 years. I got three teenagers. The amount of times I'm right in my life is like never. You know, your kids all think you're just like, whatever, dad, roll your eyes. So, I mean, I get it. They're teens. So it's very rare that I'm right, but that was not a celebration of me being right. And what that was, don't miss my enjoyment and my enthusiasm there to say that, hey, what this means is more freedom for American people, okay? So I've already made my case on where we are. So here's what I want to do. I just want to take a couple of minutes and go, now, what do I do with that, Ken? Okay, if that's where things are going, and maybe I'm parenting 7-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds, maybe, Ken, I got caught up in that. I'm 35, I'm 45, and I bought the lie that the college degree was going to guarantee more money and more meaning, and it hasn't, but I've got responsibilities. So I just, and again, I could go through a million different caricatures of maybe who's listening to me and watching me, but Ken, what do I do with that information? Is it woe is me, wringing my hands, and man, I just missed the boat, and all these other people are going to figure that out? No. So what do we do? Okay, let's just strip this thing back down to, before we make a college decision, parents, before you guide your kid in this, understand this. Here's what every human being wants to answer. There are some basic questions. And some of you need to write this down. Some of you on podcasts need to pause and put this in your phone. You're working out. You're on the lawnmower. Watch this. This is super important because this is not being taught in schools. It's not being taught in schools, which means it's not being taught in many homes. You ready? Here we go. Here are the questions that every human being doesn't have to be taught to ask, but they're wondering. First one is, who am I? They want self-awareness. And people who get self-aware earlier in life, I can tell you this, are successful later in life. But the gap between how soon you become truly self-aware has a lot to do with your success. So who am I? This is design. And real quick, here's this. There's two ways to determine who you are. Number one is design. And number two is story. I'll go through this super fast. Design, it's what I teach with the Get Clear Career Assessment right here. Design, what are my talents? Everybody's born with talent, and with education and experience, it can become a skill. So in other words, it goes from a handsaw to a power saw. Okay? That's the journey from talent to skill. And everybody's born with talent. Then everybody's born with a heart and a soul. And so these next two things, passion and mission. So what work do I love to do? I get interested in it. When I'm in it, I lose track of time. Come on, we all get that, right? I love the work. By the way, 96% of millionaires enjoyed their work. Hello. Should pay attention to that. Last piece, mission. Everybody's motivated. Everybody is motivated. No one can motivate you. I cannot motivate you. I can manipulate you. That makes me a good dad. In other words, I tell my two teenage boys, because they like to live in squalor, if I don't make them clean their room. And I say, you can't go out with your friends this weekend unless your room is clean. They clean it up. Why? Because they want to? No, because I gave them motivation. In other words, manipulation. But true motivation is the guy who gets up at 5 a.m. to work out because he wants to be healthy. Okay? Do it because I want to. All right? That's how we answer the question, who am I? That's the design, the story. What's the story? What's the environment you grew up in your home? How did it shape your worldview? And then experience. Where have you won in life? Where have you lost in life? You look at those things right there, and I can tell you right now, you will know who you are. The Get Clear Career Assessment, by the way, will help. You can get it at kencoleman.com. The new book that comes with it, by the way, fabulous. It's called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. It's me meeting you at your assessment results and now walking by the hand to get the answer to these other questions. First is, who am I? The second question every human asks is, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? The more I know me, the more I can see this is what I want to do with my life. Now watch. The third question is, where can I do it? What are the areas of life or the mountains that I can do this thing that I know I want to do, that I was designed to do? And the fourth question is, how do I get there? Folks, if we are teaching this in our homes, and if we were to teach this in the public schools, we would not have this marketing message that has sucked people into endless debt and a lack of meaning. But we never help anybody answer those questions strategically. I can't even say it. All right? And so what do we have? We have people that come into this world hardwired as wanderers. A little kid, they ask a million questions when they're toddlers. Why? To be obnoxious? No, because they want to get to the bottom of it. They're wanderers. And then the education system pounds it out of them. They become wanderers, and they show up on the Ken Coleman Show. So that's why I got the assessment, the Get Clear Assessment, the new book, Find the Work You're Wired to Do. I want to help you and your kids and your loved ones figure it out.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.